And now, it's sports time. Featuring forecasts, plot synopsis, character studies, explanations, and interviews. Making sports accessible to everyone, from the diehard to the hardly interested. With your host, Ezra Fisher, it's the Dear Sports Fan Podcast. Hey everyone, and Happy New Year. January isn't just the best time to break your newly made resolutions, it's also a great time for following and watching football. The NFL playoffs begin this weekend, and to help prepare for the games, I invited my old friend Brennan Gilfillan to join me in a series of podcasts. We'll go through each NFL playoff game and talk through the most interesting characters, the basic plot of the game, who we want to win, and who we think is going to win. And just for fun, we'll share our favorite player names from each playoff team. I hope you enjoy it. All right, the fourth and last game of the weekend is Detroit Lions at Dallas Cowboys, 4:40. These are like the weirdest times, by the way. 4:40 p.m. on Sunday on Fox.
Yep.
So, let's start with some characters on the Cowboys. The Cowboys are like the biggest, most full of character team in the country. Who do you have?
Oh, man, I don't even know where to start. I will go with Tony Romo for similar reasons that I went with Andy Dalton. There have always been questions about whether Tony Romo can actually win a game that matters. He's put those questions to rest a little bit during the regular season this year. But the regular season is not the playoffs.
By the way, are you making lunch or something while you do this?
No, I'm just walking around.
Oh, okay.
So I think Tony Romo is, I mean, he looks, every year, he looks like, at times, one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL.
Yep.
And then, you know, it comes to a game that actually matters, and he usually messes it up. And I think those of us who are not Cowboys fans are counting on that happening again this year. But this is, I think this is the first year where I actually have looked at the Cowboys and thought, man, that's a really good team, and have been genuinely afraid of the Cowboys.
Yeah, and I think part of it is that, and maybe this is a quick way of doing some of the other characters, at least on the offense.
Yeah.
It's like every other single piece of this offense doesn't mess up.
Yeah.
Right? They don't. They just don't have that character that, you know, we've attributed to Tony Romo.
Well, they've got, their offensive line is amazing. They've got running backs. They've got incredible receivers. It's quite unfortunate.
Yeah, there are almost no gaps in it. Dez Bryant is their leading wide receiver, and he's enormous. He's really strong. He tends to catch the ball and then just run through a couple people. Very difficult to stop him once he has the ball. He's their primary wide receiver, and I think he has gotten a really, really bad deal in the media. He
used to.
Well, but
I think he kind
of
turned it around.
Yeah, so he somehow gained this reputation as being, you know, a hothead, malcontent, I think that's the word. And so now whenever you see him screaming on the sidelines, there's always a camera on him, and they're always making a big deal like, oh, Dez Bryant is mad. And they seem to always show him screaming after one of his teammates scores. And I think the implication is he's angry that he didn't score. Oh, look how selfish he is. And I think the guy just likes screaming. Like,
I can see that.
I don't know. I don't see anything negative in his play.
No, and his actual teammates don't seem to respond badly to any of it.
Yeah, exactly. And I guess the other big character on the Dallas offense is their running back, DeMarco Murray, who has just, it's almost, he's not interesting as a character, but he's really interesting as as sort of an example of a type. So bear me out on this one, but it's the last year before he becomes a free agent, and the Cowboys seem like they are out to just use him up. Like, running backs are always a little bit disposable in the NFL, but they ran DeMarco Murray. I think he touched the ball close to 400 times, which is just an obscene number of times, and it usually ends up with the player being injured. And you just get the sense that they are absolutely not looking out for his future. And from his perspective, it's like you want to get the ball a lot in the year before you're a free agent,
because you want to show everyone what you can do. And he absolutely has done that. I mean, he's been amazing. But I wonder if there's something in the back of his head thinking, ah, oh, man, like, I don't.
Well, the other question is, you want to show what you can do in a contract year, but every other team is watching this and seeing the amount of wear and tear. And I think there's a certain point where you devalue you've become devalued just because you've got too many miles on you.
Yeah. So I think he's a really interesting character, although within the context of this game, you just expect him to be excellent. There's not that much plot going on with him in this game. It's more what happens after the season that it becomes really interesting.
Yep.
Let's move over to the Detroit Lions. Who do you have as interesting characters on their team?
I don't know. They're all boring. Except for my boy Ndamukong Suh, who is a defensive tackle and one of the more talented defensive tackles in the league, who has also gained a reputation as one of the dirtiest players in the league. And last week in the game against the Packers, he accidentally found himself standing on Aaron Rodgers' calf and decided not to dismount.
Right, his already injured quickly. Calf.
Yeah, but just accidentally that he landed on that particular calf. Took his time in getting off, and he's been suspended for this week's game, although he is appealing, and I've read a couple different things that suggest he may actually win.
Really?
But it is remarkable that, I mean, he either is the unluckiest player in the NFL or the stupidest player in the NFL, because it's not like he didn't know that he would get suspended for stepping on someone. His own teammate got suspended for stepping on someone the week before.
Yeah.
And he decided to do this on the week going into a playoff game.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
I think it's almost like, right, so he didn't stomp on him. What he did was he stepped on him and then sort of, he tried to play it off like he didn't mean to do it.
Yeah.
And I think, I wonder if you're that freakishly talented physically, it doesn't connect with you. You think you have the same plausible deniability that everyone else does, right? Because if that was you or me, we might have accidentally stepped on Aaron Rodgers' leg and it would look like that.
Yeah.
But we just have a different expectation of these athletes. We assume that they always know where their bodies are. And I think we penalize them based on that too, because honestly, he knew what he was doing, right? Like
Well, I also think it's unique with him because he has such a track record.
Right.
That he just doesn't get the benefit of the doubt anymore.
But I mean, no one would, it had to be that calf, right? You couldn't have stepped on the other leg accidentally. Like, it was the specific part of his body that was injured that you just happened to step on.
Yeah.
The deniability, what's the opposite of plausible deniability? Implausible deniability, I guess?
I think no deniability.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, you could deny it. It's still deniable. Anyway, yeah, they are. The Lions are pretty boring. Calvin Johnson is like the boringest superstar ever. His nickname is Megatron. He basically is a robot. He tries to look like, I mean, he's not a robot, but he models himself after a robot.
Yeah.
I think their quarterback, Matthew Stafford, is like a little bit interesting. He's one of those middle of the road quarterbacks that is good enough to get people excited, but never really good enough to win.
Yeah.
I think he must be 6 or 7 years into his career now. So not that, I don't think he'll lose his job if he doesn't play well. But I think if he did play well, it might be pretty meaningful for him.
Yeah. He's in that interesting space where you can't quite call him a bust. I mean, he was a really high draft pick. You can't call him a bust, but if he doesn't get him out of the first round of the playoffs and hasn't gotten them anywhere, is he just their guy? Are they stuck with a mediocre quarterback for the next, 4 or 5 years because they're not going to find anyone better? Or do they decide that they need to do something different? It's a very bizarre situation in the NFL where everyone virtually, at any given point in time, half to, two-thirds of the team's fans are ready to be done with their quarterback, and none of them have an idea of who would be a better quarterback.
Right. Yeah, it's amazing that there aren't 32 people that can do this job well.
Yeah.
There's really only about 12.
At any given, point in time.
Yeah. So what's the plot of this game?
There's that. I mean, I think the only real plot is, you know, is this Dallas team the one that kind of shakes off the nerves of previous Dallas teams that have lost in the first round or not gotten as far as they, like, are they for real? Are they going to, you know, what should happen is they should absolutely blow the Lions out. They are clearly the better team.
Yep.
They should have no problem blowing them out, or at least beating them handily, I would think. But if there's, you know, a little bit of nerves there, if it's closer than it should be, or, you know, Detroit wins, then, you know, then I think you have complete panic in Dallas world of, you know, the curse is real.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like we don't, it's like it's a Shakespeare play and we don't know if it's a comedy or a tragedy yet.
Yeah.
But it's definitely starring the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah. I don't think this says anything about the Lions one way or the other.
Yeah.
Unless they manage, even if they pull a win, the story will be, oh my God, Dallas did it again.
Right. It was a tragedy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, best name on the Dallas Cowboys.
On the Cowboys. The name I always love to hear, even though he's a Cowboy, is Orlando Scandrick.
Mm, yeah.
It just flows. It flows so nicely.
He's definitely a pirate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that name.
Yeah, so kind of an ordinary name, but I think they have an offensive lineman named Doug Free.
Yeah.
And I just like that. You know, two one-syllable names, two four-letter names, Doug Free. Very, like, it's a good author name. Maybe I'll use that as my pen name one time.
Yeah, we have to make sure he's not an author as well. That could get confusing.
Yeah, it could be. Lion's name?
They offer a decent number to choose from. I'm going to go with Tahir Whitehead,
mm-hmm.
Only because it sounds like a very exotic pimple.
Yep.
Which I appreciate.
Yep. Yeah, I mean,
there's a lot to work with.
You mentioned Ndamukong Suh earlier, yep. Which, you know, he's almost a household name at this point, but that is a great name for a defensive tackle.
Yeah.
Dumb
it flows so nicely. And then as far as cornerbacks go, Darius Slay.
Yes. Darius Slay.
I mean, that's remarkable.
I feel like we can blow these names all now because I don't think they're going to win this game. But true. I mean, Golden Tate.
Yeah.
What a great name. Golden Tate. Yeah. Lots of great names on the Lions. Not to mention DeAndre Levy, the only Jewish linebacker in the league.
I can't tell if you're being truthful or not.
Oh, yeah. He's not Jewish. Yeah.
And then Ezekiel Ansah.
Yep.
From BYU, of all places, who actually has a very interesting backstory.
Really?
Did not start playing football until he was very old. So he's a pretty interesting guy and a total freak of an athlete.
He's the tight end?
No, he's a D lineman.
Who's their tight end? I think they have a...
Brandon Pettigrew.
No, the other guy.
Oh, Eric Ebron.
Oh, yeah, Ebron. That's not an interesting name.
No. Brandon Pettigrew sounds kind of like he belongs in an English period drama.
Yeah, as does Joik Bell.
Well, or he belongs in New Jersey. Off the road, you Joik.
All right. Now, the line on this game is Dallas is favored by 7.5 points. Like you said, people expect them to win. I have to say, I hate to admit it, but I want Dallas to win, and I think they're going to win. They're just, it's just more interesting with them in the playoffs.
Oh, no, that's not true. I mean, you know, they're my mortal enemy. I would like nothing better than to see them suffer and to see more an entire offseason of questions about what's wrong with Tony Romo. Are they going to fire their coach? Because it was still a disappointing year if they didn't make it out of the first round. So I would very much like to see the Detroit Lions win. But I can't see it happening. I think the Cowboys are going to win comfortably. Sadly.
Yep. All right. Well, now it's like we don't even need to watch the games. All right. Well, thanks so much for doing this with me. If it goes well and there are actually playoffs next weekend, maybe we'll do it again.
All right. Sounds good.
Thanks for listening to the Dear Sports Fan podcast. You can find more podcasts and tons of writing at dearsportsfan.com. If you like what you see and hear there, please subscribe. Thanks to Jesse Fisher for the theme music. He's at jessefisher.com. Have a great day.